to invite up Ted and Julie and their children. There's one more among them than the last time that they were with us. And Ted's going to introduce the family, and then after that, when you're done doing that, you can just dismiss the children for Children's Church.
Okay, yes. It's a real blessing to be here. Thanks for inviting us. Come here, Esther. This is my family, my wife Julie, and our daughter Abby is 14, and Jacob is 11, and Nathan is 7, and Nathan, Harup Chiap Kwanakwe. Kupu Chiap
Kwanakwe. Kupu Chiap Kwanakwe.
There you go, very good. That was Kekchi, and Esther is 4. She's the one wandering around all over the place. And baby Lucy was born in Guatemala almost a year ago, July 28th, this Friday. So this is our family. We appreciate your prayers. And I guess the children are dismissed now. And we'll add some more kids to your children's church today. Thank you so much for that scripture from Isaiah. Has a real meaning for me. People and where we're from walk for miles and miles on muddy paths with no shoes. It really rings true for me that the people can come from far away to bring good news to a distant, isolated village in our area. And it's a beautiful thing, and people celebrate when visitors come to their village. Do we have pictures yet? I'm going to be working with the projectionist and have a pretend slide controller. So if I go like this, we'll click to the next one. All right, there we go. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So this is the earth is the Lord's. So what does that mean? And that means the people around you, if you look around, everyone here with you, this whole church that belongs to the Lord, right? That we are the Lord's creation. But also when we go down the street and we see other houses or other people, or we go to work and have to deal with people at work. It's difficult sometimes. Well, they are the Lord's creation too. All of the earth is the Lord's. And when you get your paycheck at the end of the week or whatever, those numbers that you see, you think about, how can I use these numbers, you know? How can I improve my house or something like that? But if you look at those numbers and say, how can I use those numbers to the glory of God? The earth is the Lord's. Everything that's in it. I believe that work is part of God's creation just as much as church and just as much as reading our Bible is. And we have a perspective too, a kind of a different perspective. When we go in the airport and we fly off into a plane to Guatemala and we look down on all the farmlands and we see the majesty of the Lord's creation. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Everything that we can see from way above in the plane as we fly over cities and see the lights at night. And also when we're in Guatemala and we're traveling over the mountains on skinny dirt roads, we have beautiful views of this natural, the natural mountains, the green, and just the beautiful nature. All of that is the Lord's. That's really, if you ever go down to visit Guatemala, that's one thing I think that you'll be struck by, is just the majesty of the Lord, to see all those mountains, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful view. Yeah, like that. Just around every corner, you see another beautiful view. It's hard to travel because you always have to stop the driver and say, another picture, got to take a picture. And, you know, you don't get anywhere because you're always taking pictures. So go ahead. We're going to share our perspective with you today. Try to help you see through the eyes of the Guatemalans in Guatemala. We work with the indigenous Quechua people in Guatemala, and you all know where Guatemala is, so I don't have to show you this picture. The next picture shows here in Coban. You can see Guatemala City's down here where the plane arrives, and going up to Coban is where we are, even though it's not very far, probably here to Syracuse or something. It takes us 5 hours to go from Guatemala City to Coban. And John and Allison are near where it says Chiquimula there. You can see off to the right. It was such a blessing to us to be in John and Allison's lives and to have met them and be a part of their journey. We're looking forward to seeing them when we get there. Every time they come down, we kind of miss each other. We're both going different directions, and we're all very busy. But go ahead. There's a lot of need in Guatemala, and we see that every day. But we work with the indigenous Quechua people. These are the Indians, the people that were there before the Europeans came over. And they live in that part of Guatemala where there's lots of mountains, where they grow some of the best coffee in the world. The Quechua people don't have much. They don't have cars to drive. As you can see, they walk for miles and miles. That's just the way of life, is walking. And it's not just how they get places, but it's also how they dwell with each other. You go visit a Quechua, and they'll ask you to sit down, and they'll prepare coffee for you, and you have to sit and talk, and you enjoy each other's company. It's a way of life. We walk with the Quechua in many ways. There's no way to just pop in for a quick visit. You have to sit and stay and relate with each other and eat lunch together and just enjoy each other's company. So you went a little too fast. Go back one. These women are walking together, enjoying each other's company, and you can see the women carry things on their heads. And the next slide, you see the men carry on their foreheads. He has a strap around his forehead. Goes to his pack of corn there. That's about 100 pounds of corn, and they carry more than that. But there you can see the beautiful mountains of Guatemala. Go ahead. Yeah, here's another gentleman carrying some lumber. It's just a normal everyday occurrence. People are always carrying, always walking together. This is an example of a house. I usually have dirt floors and made out of wood with tin roofs. And I'm impressed that they put all of their possessions on the wall. Like, this is just about everything they own. They have a few pictures, which are very precious to them. He has the strap that goes over his forehead for carrying things, and they have a pitcher for coffee for guests. And, of course, they have their corn harvest hanging from above. Corn is very important to the Quechua. It's how they survive. They harvest their corn once a year, and they have to make that work for the entire year. They let it dry, and then when it's time to use it, time to cook it, they turn it into corn dough and make tortillas, and that's what they eat, corn tortillas with some beans, black beans. And go ahead. Now, this is the inside of the house, and if there were kids here, there are some kids here. Anybody under 18... can tell me, try to tell me what that wooden thing in the front is. Yeah, that's a ladder. That's a Quechua ladder. So this is the kitchen, And they have an open fire there where they cook things, and you can see how black the walls are because they have no chimney. All the smoke is right there, and it kind of creeps out through the edges of the roof. And above, they'll have all their corn for the year stored, and that's being dried and smoked up above, and that keeps the bugs out of it. It keeps it dry. This lady closest to us is a real good friend of ours. We helped her find work and we learned like a year later that she was in a real hard place when we gave her work, and so she was just another example of God's provision for us. Go ahead to the next one. It is a picture of their kitchen. And it's hard to see, but the child is attached to the woman with a cloth sash. You can see it coming around front. So they carry the kids on their backs, and they do the kitchen things. And go ahead. Another picture of the kitchen where the women work. And this is the washing machine. She gets the water from the spring over there and beats the clothes against the rocks. And it's a weekly ritual. See where the little girl is playing in the water in the spring. This is one of the many churches in our area. The Kekchi Mennonite Church is alive and growing and doing very well. There's 125 Kekchi churches with over 10,000 members, people going to it. Go ahead. They pray with passion. They pray very loudly, all together, all at the same time. It's a beautiful experience to be a part of a Kekchi prayer service. And the next one is where I was traveling with the church leaders, and they're installing a new pastor and his wife and child there. They're installing them as pastors in this new community. It's a brand new community church plant. And it was way far out in a very poor place. So he has his small house there, and he was going to invite people to his house for church services. And that was about a year ago. And in January, they had 30 families coming to his house. And this was all done with the church. This wasn't my work. This was what the church leaders were already doing. So as you can see, the church is doing very well in Guatemala where we're at. We aren't there to plant churches. They don't need us to. They don't need white people there to tell them how to do church. They do that already very well. But what they do need is some help with economic opportunities. Like I said, they have very little. I think the next picture has coffee. So they grow coffee there. But for many reasons, such as discrimination, and because they're so isolated with their language and with their culture, they get paid very little for their coffee. They take their coffee cherries and have to sell that for pennies for a pound, just because the guy coming to collect it says, "Oh, I can't give you very much today for it. I'm sorry." So, and they have to take whatever the guy gives them. So that's what we're there to do. We're there to help the Kekchi with economic development so that they can provide for the families to help lift them out of poverty. We believe that the Lord came not just to preach the gospel, but to heal, to help the prisoners, to help the orphans and widows. You hear Jesus preaching a lot about helping those that need it. You know, that's why we're there in Guatemala. Similar to what Jonathan and Allison are there for. They're helping the people where they need it. So that was my vision. That was our mission 3 years ago when we came and visited you all here. We're not there to give them handouts, not to give out money, to just give them money or anything like that. But I want to work with them little by little, working with them, hands-on projects to help them earn a living for themselves, help them so they can sustain in a long-term mission, so that they'll keep they'll be able to get on that first rung of the ladder and be able to grow and provide for themselves years after we're gone. You know, I don't want them to be dependent on me. I want the Kekchi people to be able to work and sustain themselves. So in a lot of different ways, we're helping them with business ideas and helping them with training in those type of things. But now we're going to switch to my family. The next picture is, oh, here's more coffee. Here he's picking the coffee cherries. So they pick the red cherries, and inside is the coffee bean that will eventually be, that's dried and then eventually roasted in the United States. Okay, so I want to talk about my family because I don't want you to get the idea that I'm there all by myself or it's just me, it's my mission, but it's not. It's really my family is the mission. We're all there together, and we need your prayers as a family, as a group, because we all support each other, and going as a family is a very different thing. It opens a lot of doors. It kind of legitimizes what we're doing when people see that we're willing to bring our family, and they see us raising our children in godly ways. It opens hearts, opens a lot of doors for us. So remember us and our entire family. Same with the O'Connors. Pray for their whole family. It's not just not just the mission. It's not just that we need to lift up in prayer. Here you see, go back to that one. You see, Abby is playing with some girls. She's got her notebook, and it was hardest for Abby to be there. She's 14 now, and she had to say goodbye to a lot of friends and her life in the United States when we left. So she's probably had the hardest time. I ask her often, you know, do you wish we were back in the States? Do you, you know, you don't like it here in Guatemala? And she says, no, I like it. You know, even though it's hard sometimes, it's also, it would be hard in the States. It's hard wherever you are as a teenager. And she's really blossomed creatively. She does a lot of writing and does a lot of drawing, and she told me that in the States she would write differently. There's a blossoming of her creativity in Guatemala. It's an inspiring place to be. So I'm glad that God is merciful with us and watching over us, our kids, as we go. Jacob and Nathan are now going to a Spanish-speaking school. They just started in January, and Jacob wasn't sure about that. The kids have been homeschooled their whole lives, and so we wanted to get them in the community more to find more friends, and we told them, just try it for a week. You know, we won't pay the tuition yet. We'll just try for a week and see how it goes. And after a few days, he just loved it. He didn't want to come back home for homeschooling. He's making friends and playing soccer and having a great time. Same with Nathan. He's doing well. Here's, you see Esther in the middle with her polar bear hat. Everybody loves Esther. A lot of the villages there's Nathan talking to his buddy, Josue, Denise. Yeah. Go ahead to the next one is Esther. Doesn't matter where we go, a lot of the people in the villages, they would not have seen a little girl with blonde hair and blue eyes like that. So everybody, I have about 100 more pictures of her posing with a Kekchi lady. Like I said, it really opens a lot of doors, and a lot of people are just love on us, and it's really neat to see. The next picture is at the market. That's where Julie buys all her fruits and vegetables. My wife, I couldn't do this at all if it wasn't for my wife, Julie. She is really a Proverbs 31 wife. She goes to the market and literally bargains for the healthy food and does that in two different languages. Going to the next, you see her carrying Lucy in there, looking very carefully at that ginger that the guy is trying to sell us there. Go to the next one. Here's another picture of baby Lucy. Like I said, she was born in Guatemala. So that's a whole nother story, and it would take me another hour to tell the story of how God has provided for us with baby Lucy's birth. But I will move on. Here, we're with a family here that we've really come to love and become real good friends with. This is Denise is loving Lucy there, and closer is his little brother Josue and their mom Marta. Every time we visit, they run to us and they try to practice their English with us, and just cheerful, the most cheerful little boys you'll ever meet. So the dad is Federico, a very good friend of mine. It's his mission to work with the Quechua people in a holistic way to help them out of poverty and to work with long-term help. So it was right away, almost in the first week that we were there, that I met Federico. God put us together. And so our missions and our vision and our work has really gone hand in hand. So I work very closely with Federico, and he's a very good friend of mine. His wife, Marta, he also gave up a good, steady teaching job. He taught in the public school, and he gave that up in order to help the Quechua people in the villages. His wife is Marta, and Denise is the older boy, and little Josue has had a lot of visits to the doctor, to the hospital, and I'll tell you about that in a moment, but it's by God's grace that he's here and in this picture. So Marta does a lot of weavings. We have some of her weavings out on our table, I think. She does that to help supplement their income, and she works very hard at that. It's amazing what she can do with a few sticks of wood and that a thing that goes around her back and hooks to the beam in their house. This is Denise. He's real serious in this picture, but that's not, he's almost always has a big smile on his face. I don't know why he's so serious. But this is Josue coming. This was the day after they had gotten back from Guatemala City. They have to travel 5 hours to Guatemala City to work with the doctors with little Josue. In his 7 years of life, he's had 16 operations. He was born with a deformed small intestine. So we're waiting. They kind of patched him up as good as they could when he was a little baby, and they're now waiting until he's old enough that they can do the final surgery. But they were there in November, and he had an infection, and they needed an emergency surgery, so while they were there just for a few days, they ended up being there for almost an entire month. And it's hard to describe how difficult that is for Marta and for the family to be away from home that whole time, because, you know, their house is their life and their community. And so we're still praying and waiting for God to help little Josue. It's only been through our support, our financial support, and other missionaries that have known this family. And you might see it on Facebook. I might mention that Josue needs another surgery and ask for funds for this family. But we're hoping that next year he'll have his final surgery and finally be up and running. But like I said, you wouldn't know it. He's always so cheerful and just a wonderful, wonderful little boy. This is Marta's father, who they take care of. He was very sick last year. They were worried that he would pass away while she was in the city during that month. But it's just a normal, it's how the people live. They all live together as a family, and they take care of the other people. And there are no old folks home to send the parents to. They all take care of each other together. So this is a picture of Federico teaching one of the villages. So what we would do is travel 2 hours or so to a village every 2 weeks, and then we'd drive 2 hours and then walk another hour to get to the village. People would come to get training, so they'd have to attend these meetings, and they learn about how to work together as a community, how to some of the basic economic business things to help them get on their feet. Go ahead to the next one. Okay. Here's another training. And you can see their corn hanging from the ceiling there. Go ahead. And another thing that we do is we help them grow organic gardens. So it's not just saying, this is what you need to do, and then leave. It's working with them all throughout the year. And this is another one of the trainers, Carlos. You can see he's getting his hands dirty, and he teaches them how to grow gardens, how to grow things that they wouldn't otherwise know about. Swiss chard, I think there's cabbage here, and different things, peas and carrots and tomatoes and different things that are providing nutrition for the people that more than just corn and beans. And then at the end of the year, they get a diploma, a little certificate, and they proudly put that on their walls. And go ahead. So here they're proudly showing their diplomas for a picture. This lady here to the right has hers upside down. She doesn't know that. She can't read. A lot of people can't read in the villages. But that doesn't matter. She's very proud of what she's done and proud of the hard work that they've put in. And it's really neat to see. Go ahead to the next one. Okay, so once we've worked with the community for a while and after we've started building together a strong community and a strong work ethic, the people will be able to work together to plant coffee and grow coffee, and we'll provide trainings for that. And the goal and the mission is that they'll be able to process that coffee themselves so that they'll have more control over how they sell their coffee. So as a community, as a cooperative, they'll be able to process it and work together and sell their coffee together as a community for a much better price than what they're getting now. And Lord willing, we'll be able to export the coffee in the coming 3 to 5 years if it's good enough quality and if it's working well. But really, selling in the country would be a huge benefit to the people, and that's our goal right now, is to be able to process and work together. The next picture, okay, so yep. So that was Jacob working, planting some seedlings, and this is Carlos and Jacob and Nathan working together to plant some coffee in the one village. It's just, it's really neat to see the people and hear their testimonies, to hear them, because the Kekchi people have always had a defeatist kind of fatalist attitude about things. This is my life, and this is what I have to do. I'll plant my corn, harvest it, and that's as much as I can do. But working with this group, this organization that goes out to these villages, we're going out to 8 different villages this year. It's really neat to see their testimony, to hear the testimony about how they're able to improve their lives. And you see these people just coming alive, you know, with joy to realize that, oh, I can make a difference in my life. And one lady is selling her organic fertilizer that we taught her how to make from different kinds of weeds and that she can find in her property. And other people are selling their tomatoes in the marketplace and seeing, it's just really neat to see self-sustainability and self-sufficiency in the people that where there was none. It's really, really amazing and a miracle that God is working through us and in Guatemala. So I invite you to join us if you're not already with us, and we really appreciate the support that you as a church have given us and have been a part of our work in Guatemala. And I have some time for questions if you'd like to, if you have any for me right now. But if you'd like to support us individually, there are sheets out there. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, please put down your email address or whatever address you can. We're hoping to go back in September, September 8th. We're buying plane tickets to go back. And thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Any questions? It's pretty wet there. It rains a lot. So most people collect their water off their roofs. They have pipes going into a concrete cistern. And those were put in many years ago by other missionaries and other groups that helped them with so they have fresh drinking water. But they still have to boil it. It's not real fresh, but it's filtered. So usually water is not a problem. There was one village that we went to that has a river going through the village, but because the hydroelectric plant came through and diverted their water, now they have none, and they also don't have the cisterns like they do in a lot of the other villages. So we're working with the people in that village to get some water tanks and set them up and get them ready, because they're without water. That's another project that we're in the middle of. Yes?
So as part of your role to help them, like the middlemen, helping negotiate better prices for the coffee, or educating them how to band together and kind of develop co-ops so they have more strength, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. That was one of the questions I came in with. Like, I didn't know what my role would be. I guess I was worried that I would be that middle guy that would be the target of, right in the middle of everything. But really, when I've arrived, I found that there's a lot of good people in the culture, in the majority culture of Guatemala, that are good people that want to help the Kekchi people. And there's a lot of Kekchi people that would like to be helped and would like to work with these people, but there's just that divide, a cultural divide, a lot of mistrust, a lot of hard to connect the two because of distance, geography, and language. And so I found that the people, the friends that I made, that God had put me with on both sides, I just put those together, and they're working together themselves. So I'm finding my position as more of a bridge, more of a person that's connecting people, and that's how God has made me, and that was God's plan the whole time. That's kind of how it's turning out. The best way to do it, I think, is to form cooperatives within the village, and so that they're able to sell their coffee. And it's a peaceful thing. You know, it's not as dangerous as I thought it was gonna be. Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem in Guatemala. In 1996, they had peace accords, and they distributed a lot of land to the Kekchi people. But there is a lot that's not really accounted for, so a lot of people are squatting on land that they don't own. And even if they do own it, there's this worry that somebody's going to, when they're productive or whatever, somebody's going to come along and take the land or make their own claim on it. You know, that kind of thing. So there is a lot of land, and it's breathtaking how much space there is in that region. But that's something we have to be very careful about, is who owns the land. And that's one of the reasons they're in poverty, is because they don't have good control of the land, and they don't have that to get loans at the bank. You know, if you want to start a business here in the States, you get home equity loan, so you can start, because you have your property and your house, and you can put that against whatever you're going to, business that you're going to start. Well, they don't have that in where I live. They don't even own the land, so they can't really use that for getting a loan. So that's a problem. And yeah, I probably didn't answer your question, but it opened a discussion. Yeah. To export, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it takes 2 to 3 years for a coffee tree to grow before it starts producing the fruit. And so at that point, we'll be looking to put together a processing plant in the village. And we've already started in two of the villages already have started growing coffee. So next year, we'll start looking at that. But it's a slow process working with the Kekchi people. And we'll see how it goes. Once we're processing coffee, then we're able to sell it in the town, in town near us, and be able to, it'll be a huge, if we could process it and sell it in town, that'll be huge for the Kekchi. And at that point, we'll see if we can export it or not. And I have a partner in Ohio. Some of you might know Paul Kurtz with the Rosedale Mennonite Conference, but he is a coffee guy, and he's planning to import our coffee when we get to that point. So he's been down a couple times now. Great, great guy. Thank you all so much. I have time for some more. Yeah?
Is that their only cash crop in the coffee?
What's that?
Is that their only cash crop?
There is another spice called cardamom. I don't know if anybody here uses cardamom. They use that a lot in the Middle East, and it's actually the taste of chai tea. So if you like chai coffee, a lot of the cardamom that gets imported is from Guatemala. But as hard as it is with coffee prices go up and down. As hard as that is, cardamom is even worse. Like, 1 year it'll be $15, and another year it'll be $1, and it'll just, it's really hard to, so they, a lot of people are kind of, and it's the same idea, where they're at, where the farmers are at, they grow it and do well, but whoever's coming to pay them for it, take advantage of them and don't pay them very good for it, and then they make a lot of money on the other side. Did you have another question here? Yeah. Yes, that was one of the great benefits of the missionaries that have been through this area in the 70s and 80s. A couple of ladies with Wycliffe came through and translated wrote their language down and translated and made Bibles for them. So they have their own Bible in their own language, and that's been great. That's been a huge blessing. We're really riding on the legacy of 6 or 7 decades of missionaries that have helped the Kekchi get to this point where they are. So,
how big an area does the Kekchi take up?
Is our projectionist still there? Go back to that first picture, like the fifth or sixth picture or something. Next one. There are 26 different indigenous Mayan languages in Guatemala. Kekchi covers the largest region, even though it doesn't have as many people. So basically starts at Coban and goes almost all the way to the Belize border. So it's kind of like this whole area here, where it goes Sierra Santa Cruz. And then all the others are kind of split up, like 26 different languages split up around the rest of it, so... it covers a huge region, but it's not that many people. You know, it's a lot of space, but not very many people. Yeah. I'll be very happy to stay after and answer questions or talk with you, or if you want to talk more about coffee or the details of business, I'd be happy to talk about that too. Thank you so much for this time, and it's really a blessing to be here. Thank you.
Let's pray together.
Okay.
You want to stay here for just a minute. And the rest of you can stand, pray with us. The worship team, come up. We'll have a closing song. Let's pray together as we lift up the Smoker family. Lord, we thank you for what we've heard this morning about how you are ministering through Ted and Julie and their children. Lord, we thank you for the ways that they have been ministered to as they've been in Guatemala. Father, we lift up the Smoker family and we lift up the Kekshi people. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to provide for them. Lord, we are grateful to hear that they have received the gospel of Christ. And Lord, as Ted mentioned this morning, their churches are growing. Lord, they are exhibiting the lordship of Christ in their lives. And they are spreading the gospel among their people. And so we're grateful for that work of your kingdom. Lord, we know that you want to provide for them. And so we ask that you would continue to work through Ted and those that he's partnered with to provide for the economic needs of the Kekshi people. Lord, we ask that you would continue to provide for everyone, each of the children, and Ted and Julie, as they have needs in their family and in their personal lives during this time that they're back in the States, Lord. We ask that you would refresh them, that you would provide what they need, that you would provide the support that they need to return to Guatemala. And as they are back in Guatemala, Lord, may they continue to grow and flourish and have every need met. In Jesus' name, amen.